as the rumors and smoke screens continue to build, as we get set for what should be a wild weekend of trade surprises and what many fans and pundits will deem questionable picks by New York teams, especially me, maybe Mad Mike. We'll see as we do our first NFL mock draft of all 32 teams. Let's get the damn show started.
Listen, when Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike grab mics, it's real sports, real talk, on the field or on the court. If it happened in New York, it's covered like a blanket, dog. Interviews are ill, simply up close and personal. Batter up, Lloyd's batting first, set the tone. Mike's either at the stadium or the garden on the phone. Here we go, Giants and Jets, Yankees and Mets, Knicks and Nets. This is only an intro, the show is next.
Hey, yo, B! And please park my fresh as we bring you an all-new episode of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Listeners, today is Monday, April 22nd, 2019, and happy Easter to all the listeners, their family, friends, and loved ones as this show airs every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, TuneIn, Google Play, Pocket Cast, Satellite Radio. Yes, we are all over the place. So listeners, please be sure to hit that subscribe button so you won't miss a damn thing. And you can catch previous shows that you may have missed. You can get caught up to things. Me and Mad Mike are also on social media. Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Instagram. Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Twitter. LLOYD. Please hit that follow button. And if you got any questions that you'd like for me and Mad Mike to answer, you can always shoot them through email to lloyd@partmyfresh.com, or you can send them directly to the website, as we have a very special show for you to listen to today, as this will be our very first NFL mock draft of all 32 teams. That's right, listeners. Me and Mad Mike are going to go over our picks for all 32 teams in the NFL in our very first mock draft. We will also cover a little bit of baseball, as the Yankees are now playing with their minor league team as all of their players are hurt. We're going to talk some NBA basketball as the Brooklyn Nets are on the brink of being eliminated, and a little bit of hockey as the Islanders are waiting for their next opponent, whether it's Carolina or Washington. So as always, listeners, let's buckle up, sit back and relax, and start spreading the news. Hey, yo, let's get it.
How sweet it is. It's Monday. That means the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Show is back. Let's go.
As always, we got to find out where the Mad Mike is and where he's calling from. Yo, Mad Mike, where you at today, baby?
Hey, Lloyd, I'm chilling outside LaGuardia Airport. I'm going to be on the move all week. I'm going to try to get some coverage on this draft. I'm going to try to chase down these Yankees through California and see what happens.
Listen, that's why this is a very special edition of our show, as we are just going to focus on the draft, Mad Mike. And the 2019 NFL draft is almost here. It's actually this Thursday. And what better way to celebrate the league's biggest offseason spectacle than our very, very own first 32-team mock draft. We've never done this before, listeners. You know, and we may have a bit of surprises, but this draft, we're not going to include any trades we may think is going to happen. We're going to take this on as if no team is going to make trades and every team is going to pick in the exact order that they're scheduled to pick. All right, so you ready for this, Mad Mike?
I'm good to go.
All right, so now you know we have the first pick on the clock, and we did a mock draft last week, Mad Mike, just the first 10 picks. So listeners, some things could have changed. Some things could have changed in me and Mike's mock draft. So we have the Arizona Cardinals on the clock, Mad Mike, with pick number one. Who do you have Arizona taking with the number one overall pick in this year's draft?
I have them taking Kyler Murray, man. Just think that New coach, new quarterback. Josh Rosen didn't exactly light the world on fire last year. Not necessarily all his fault, but enough question marks around him to suggest that they take, clean slate, start over Kyler Murray.
Yeah, another week, and Murray remains as the number one pick in my mock draft as well. And the Cardinals, may very well stick with Josh Rosen and target other needs. But right now, the former Oklahoma star Heisman Trophy winner as Arizona's latest franchise quarterback, in my opinion. And I think he fits the offense that, what is it, Kingsbury?
Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, that the offense that he wants to run, I think he fits that particular offense that style that he wants to run. So I'm sticking with Kyler Murray at the top of the draft, with the number overall pick going to the Arizona Cardinals. So that leaves us at number two, Mad Mike. And the number two pick belongs to the San Francisco 49ers. And I have them taking Nick Bosa, defensive end out of Ohio State. I think this is the best case scenario for the 49ers. They desperately need a pass rusher and to get one of the best in the class. And some may think that Bosa's a game changer from day one. So I got them taking Nick Bosa, defensive end out of Ohio State. Who do you have them taking, Mad Mike?
I've actually done a 180 here. I have them taking Quinnen Williams, who I think is the best player in this draft, saying a lot. Because the thing is, they just traded and gave D Ford a lot of money. And I guess you could say they could take Nick Bosa and put him on the other side. I just think that Quinnen Williams has so much upside here. Whereas Nick Bosa might, be limited or already be what he is. So, Quinnen Williams.
And, I mean, that's not a bad pick because, they can use help in the D-tackle spot as well.
So yeah, I just think that when you have, if you have a lights-out rusher and the way they gave Ford $85 million, I'm assuming they think that he's a lights-out guy, right? You don't give $85 million to a project or Robin, give it to Batman. And I think once you get that guy, you then are trying to find the Aaron Donald type, right? So you want that super edge pass rusher and you want that super interior lineman. And I think Quinnen Williams fits it perfectly for them.
Great point. All right, so now we have pick number three, which goes to your team, the New York Jets. And who do you have the Jets taking with the third overall pick, Mad Mike?
I have the Jets taking Nick Bosa, maybe wishful thinking, which is why I put the Quinnen Williams there at two, but I just think that he's polished now. Once again, I think maybe the upside is a little bit more limited. Some people call me crazy for saying that because he's a Bosa. We just finished talking about, football royalty family. He's one of them. But if you to me, he's a safe pick for them. There's no way Nick Bosa falls and you turn it down. Mike Maccagnan has had a lot of luck with the so-called best player in the draft falling to him. And I think it happens again.
All right. So now normally, if we say I agree with you that Quinnen Williams is definitely one of the best prospects in this draft, maybe the best prospect in this draft. And at that point, with me saying that, you would think that I have the Jets taking Quinnen Williams at number three because I have San Fran taking Nick Bosa. But I actually have your team taking Josh Allen, Mad Mike, linebacker out of Kentucky. I think Josh Allen had a fantastic senior season as well as a strong combine and remains as one of the best edge rushers in his class. With needs an edge rusher for the Jets, I think that this is a no-brainer, and I think that the Jets – the Jets should select Josh Allen with the number three overall pick, linebacker from Kentucky.
I'll be honest with you, Lloyd, and I don't disagree with you. And like you said, no trades in our draft, but I'm telling you right now, if Nick Bosa is not there, I don't think the Jets are making this pick at three. I don't. I think there's a lot of hype around a lot of these players. There's too many rumors. Jay Glazer actually just suggested that the Houston Texans trade number 23 and Jadeveon Clowney for the number three overall pick and a conditional pick. So I'm just saying, while I agree with you, pass rush is a need, I think they're going to look later in the draft if they can't get both.
Or they can just go with Quinnen Williams as well and have one of the best D-tackle combinations in football next to the Rams with Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald. Yeah. That's a possibility as well, but I have them taking Josh Allen. All right, so we move on to pick number four, which goes to the Oakland Raiders, Mad Mike. And I have the Oakland Raiders taking Rashawn Gary, defensive lineman from Michigan. And look, Gary busted out a 4.58 at the 40 at the combine, and that's confirming his status as a freakish athlete among some of the most freakish athlete players on the planet. Yes, it will be hard, you know, for the Raiders to pass on Quinnen Williams here. But in terms of, you know, height, weight, and speed, I think Gary checks every box. He can play anyone on the defensive line, but his quickness as an edge rusher could make him unblockable at the next level. So I have them taking Rashawn Gary, defensive lineman from Michigan, man. Mike, who do you have the Raiders taking?
I have the Raiders taking Devin White from LSU. I have them taking Josh Allen. I have them replacing Khalil Mack. Getting that edge pass rusher. I mean, everything you said about him, he's elite. We're talking about a guy who's, what, had 18 sacks in his last 2 years in college football. He's gotten better every year. The only issue is that he's a senior, and he went to school all 4 years, and he still has a lot of developing to do in the NFL side, which is why I think a lot of people have some I don't want to say regret, some trepidation putting him this high. But I think that the Raiders, after trading Khalil Mack, you have to replace that pass rush. I think they get Josh Allen here at four.
All right. So now, listeners, if you're keen on what we've been doing so far, I haven't uttered the words Quinnen Williams out of my mouth, but the number five pick going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I finally have somebody selecting Quinnen Williams, defensive lineman out of Alabama. Mad Mike Williams is a monster. He dominated just about every snap in 2018, you know, during the season. And if he comes out of the combine, he dominated there too at the combine. He ran a blazing 4.83 40, Mad Mike. Blazing, which only confirms what we already knew. His physical abilities are off the charts. And he's not only a legit top five talent, you know, he has an argument as a top, you know, as one of the top picks overall. But the Buccaneers drafted Vita Vea a year ago, you know, but Gerald McCoy is 31 years old, you know, and they'll count roughly, you know, he'll count $13 million against the cap in each of the next 3 years, so I can easily see him being a cap casualty. And, you know, Quinnen Williams easily can slot in to that departure. So I finally have Quinnen Williams coming off at the board to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at number five, Mad Mike.
If anybody knows anything about Todd Bowles as a Jets coach, he spent an entire 4 years here looking for a middle linebacker that was willing to do everything, a sideline to sideline linebacker who was willing to get his nose dirty, you know, play up at the line, who was able to cover. I think they use this pick to find that same that type of guy, Devin White, so they can manage this, you know, defense. Like you did mention, they do have a pass rush in Tampa. You know, they still have Gerald McCoy on the line. He's 31, but hey, he's still playing, above average. People forget that they traded for JPP. He had double-digit sacks last year. Vita Vea already sucks up, you know, a lot of that interior line. So, yeah, I think they find their game-changing linebacker in the middle.
All right, so pick number six goes to the New York Football Giants, which is my team, and there's been talks. Everybody's been saying Dwayne Haskins, and if not Dwayne Haskins, then you take somebody on the defensive side of the ball, Matt Mike. But here it goes. Here's the first surprise, and here's somebody that wasn't in my mock draft last week, Matt Mike. I had the New York Giants taking Jawan Taylor, offensive lineman out of Florida, and why? You say, listeners? Well, here's why. If the Giants are truly insistent on rolling with 38-year-old quarterback Eli Manning for one more year, I feel that they have to protect him. They signed Nate Solder to play the left tackle last season, and now I feel that they'll get the best tackle in this draft, Jawan Taylor, to play the right side. I think that he's a monster in the run game and was rarely fooled in pass protection last season. So I have them taking, I'm sorry, this past college football season, I had the Giants taking Jawan Taylor, offensive lineman out of Florida, Mad Mike.
That's not totally shocking. But I have the Giants taking Montez Sweat once again. I think that the Giants have done nothing to fix their pass rush. I don't care how much you protect Eli and how many points you think you're going to score with this bunch. They don't have game-breaking talent at the wide receiver position anymore. So even if you protect them and they plan to win with points, it's still not going to be 40-point games. It's probably going to be in the 20s somewhere. And they need to be able to rush this passer. They can't rush the passer right now. They didn't replace Olivier Vernon. And I think Montez Sweat is a perfect player to take at that point in time. He's he's the best pass rusher they have on left in the draft at that point.
The bullpen phone is ringing in the background, listeners. Mad Mike is always hard at work. I don't know who it's calling, what information he's getting, but something's rolling in there to Mad Mike. So we'll see if he has anything juicy to tell us at some point. But moving on to pick number 7, Mad Mike, that belongs to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Who do you have the Jacksonville Jaguars taking?
I don't think they're picking at 7 this year, but in this case, I have them taking Ed Oliver. They, once again, in order to squeeze in Nick Foles' money, they had to get rid of some talent on the defensive line. And Ed Oliver, while some think he's undersized and some question, for some reason, he fell off the map this year. People outthink themselves. I think this is still a premier defensive lineman. I think that he's still a top 5 talent, and I think they get a steal at 7 and replace him Malik Jackson.
All right, so I have them taking Montez Sweat, the young man you just had going off the board the pick before, defensive end out of Mississippi State. And I think Sweat, I mean, let's face it, man, Mike, he does have a pre-existing heart condition, and it's unclear how it might affect his draft stock. But NFL teams clear Sweat, who dominated the Senior Bowl and the Combine, this young man ran a 4.41, which is faster than Julio Jones, man, Mike. Odell Beckham Jr., and Antonio Brown. How ridiculous is that? And we're talking about somebody that's 6'6 and 260. He's going to be an impact player, and I necessarily wouldn't be mad if the Giants took him at number 6. But I have Jacksonville taking Montez Sweat at 7. So moving on to 8, Mad Mike, that belongs to the Detroit Lions. Who do you have the Detroit Lions picking at number 8, Mad Mike?
I have them taking Rashawn Gary out of Michigan. I think Rashawn Gary is a Robin. I don't necessarily think he's a Batman. I understand that he's just immensely talented kid, amazing athlete. But they've been saying that since he came out of Jersey to Michigan. You know what I mean? So he's that Robin. I think Chase Winovich. I'm on record of saying it, even though Chase Winovich is probably falling to the second round. I think that has more to do with the fact that he's white. I'm not afraid to say that. It goes both ways, folks. I think that. He relies. He's gonna need another top edge guy for him to succeed. And the Lions went out and gave Flowers a lot of money in this offseason. And I think that to pair him with Rashawn Gary will work well for them.
All right. So I have the Lions taking T.J. Hockenson, tight end out of Iowa. And I think let's face it, we have Matt Patricia there. He used to coach the New England Patriots, and after signing Trey Flowers and Danny Amendola, the transformation to the Patriots Midwest continues with Hockenson, listeners, who has drawn comparison to Rob Gronkowski, and he reminds me more of, Travis Kelce. But either way, he's a legit target for Stafford, and Jesse James was added this offseason, but he's more of a blocking tight end and a downfield threat, so I think that they need that. So I have the Detroit Lions taking T.J. Hockenson, tight end out of Iowa. So moving on to pick number 9, man, Mike, which belongs to the Buffalo Bills. I have the Buffalo Bills taking Andre Dillard, offensive lineman from Washington State. And it's been popular to have the Bills talking to defensive linemen here, but offensive line makes a lot of sense, too. With the second-year quarterback, Josh Allen, I think Dillard is the best pass-blocking tackle in this draft. And Allen was sacked 28 times in 12 games as a rookie. They need help on that O-line, so I have them taking Andre Dillard, offensive lineman from Washington State, Mad Mike.
I have them taking Juwan Taylor out of Florida. I have them same thought process, as in they've done a good job of rebuilding that offensive line this offseason. And I just think that it goes to waste if you don't finish it off, you know what I mean, in the draft. You just finish it off, it becomes one less thing to worry about. You protect your quarterback, especially the fact that Josh Allen is more of a mobile guy. He's a guy that you kind of want him to, I don't want to say break him out of, you know, feeling like he's got to run, but you kind of, you know, same thing with Carson Wentz, right? Carson Wentz is a mobile guy, but the Eagles want him to rely more on being comfortable in the pocket and letting it rip and then, you know, kind of preserving his health. And I'm sure that's exactly what Buffalo wants. And, you know, Juwan Taylor will be perfect. He can go to the left side, can go to the right side, depending on injuries. To me, I think he's the best tackle in this draft. One of the best tackles in this draft.
All right, there you have it. So moving on to pick number 10, which belongs to the Denver Broncos. And yes, I have the Denver Broncos taking Drew Lock, quarterback out of Missouri, despite them having Joe Flacco, Mad Mike. And there's been reports that John Elway is supposedly smitten with Locke since the fall. But after back-to-back losing seasons, I think Elway hopes that he finally found his long-term franchise quarterback. So with that being said, I have them taking Drew Locke, quarterback out of Missouri, Mad Mike.
The same thing. Drew Locke has a huge arm, which John Elway seems to love. He does need a little bit of time, but Joe Flacco, and I'm not saying when I say a little time, I'm not saying a whole year. Joe Flacco will give him that. Joe Flacco will either be benched midseason due to injury or inefficiency, and then Drew Locke will be able to come in and show everybody what he has. So it's we're talking about Drew Locke was at one point assumed to be the top quarterback in this class before, you know, Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins. And sometimes I just finished saying, sometimes we outsmart ourselves. And if that's the case, he gets a steal at 10.
All right, there you have it. So pick 11 goes to the Cincinnati Bengals. Who do you have the Cincinnati Bengals taking with pick number 11, Mad Mike?
I have the Cincinnati Bengals taking Dwayne Haskins. Cincinnati kid, Zach Taylor is there. Is the new coach out there. He's a hometown kid as well. And it's just, you know, hometown coach, hometown quarterback, hometown franchise. It just makes all the sense in the world. And once again, they'll probably be lucky if he fell down all the way to 11 as well, because the one thing we know is people reach for quarterbacks. These quarterbacks, you know, they don't tend to fall. And if you don't have to move up to get them and our draft board stays consistent, then, you know, they hit a home run here.
All right, so I have them taking Devin White, linebacker out of LSU, and the Bengals' defense was exposed, in my opinion, repeatedly this past season, and inconsistent linebacker play was a big part of that. Vontaze Burfict, considered one of the most tenacious players in the league just a few years ago, is now in Oakland, and White is one of the most dynamic players in the draft. He's a sideline-to-sideline thumper, just like you mentioned before, Matt Mike, who would immediately solidify the middle of this defense, making life easier for both the front four and the secondary. So I have them taking Devin White, linebacker out of LSU. All right, now moving to pick number 12, listeners. That goes to the Green Bay Packers. Who do you have the Green Bay Packers taking with pick number 12, Mad Mike?
I have the Green Bay Packers taking TJ Hockenson from Iowa. I think Hockenson is a complete, at this point in time, he's a complete tight end. He can block in the run game. He can, you know, like you mentioned, he's a threat downfield. He's big, strong. He's tough to take down, and I think that will play well for Aaron Rodgers, especially after Jimmy Graham just had one of the most injury filled and very unproductive seasons of his own. It'll allow them to kind of get away from him, you know, with little to no cost or negative impact on a team. And, you know, going forward, you know, you already have your wide receivers pretty much set if you're them. Just a matter of, you know, maybe they go defense here. I could be wrong, but I think they'll get their tight end in the future.
All right, and that's exactly what I have them going, Matt Mike. I have them going defense. I have them taking Brian Burns, defensive end from Florida State. And Burns played at 235 last season, but he bulked up at the combine to 249, and quickly he may alleviate some questions about how that weight would affect his speed. He ran a 4.53 40, Mad Mike, and he reminds me a little bit of Alden Smith on the field, and the Packers would gladly welcome that type of production. So I have them taking Brian Burns, defensive end from Florida State. Now moving
on. Thing to consider about Burns, though, because I consider him here too, his cone drills fell off. So there are some questions, just putting it out there, there are some questions about how his transition as a heavier player will translate on the field. His straight line speed was unaffected, but his cone drills were, and some GMs, I you know, have taken him off their board completely.
All right. So now that moves us to pick number 13, which belongs to the Miami Dolphins. And I have the Dolphins taking Dwayne Haskins here from Ohio State. Yes, it's Dwayne Haskins that Mad Mike had going early and that I had. You know, everybody's talking about him going to the Giants. But the Dolphins need a quarterback at this stage. You know, the proceedings, Ryan Fitzpatrick is better served as a short-term starter, not a long-term starter. And Haskins had a fantastic 2018 season. He completed 70% of his passes, Mad Mike, throwing for 50 touchdowns. And he's the number one quarterback on this board. You know, could argue that Drew Lock might be, and, you know, would save Miami having to answer questions about tanking for Tua from quarterback from Alabama next year. You know, so just to kind of go off, you know, back to the Giants a little bit, I wouldn't be mad if the Giants don't get the quarterback this year and get the quarterback next year, just putting that out there. But that's why I have the Miami Dolphins taking Dwayne Haskins, quarterback from Ohio State, Matt Mike. Who you got them taking?
I have them taking Christian Wilkins, Clemson, defensive tackle. I think Christian Wilkins is one of the best DTs in this draft. I don't know why, you know, he's not just the sum of their parts. You know, I don't know if you've been paying attention to some of the haters, but a lot of these Clemson D linemen, they have the best defensive line in all of college football. But for some reason during this process, people have said that they were more sum of the parts than just the parts. I think Christian Wilkins is absolutely a stud, and I think he's going to be a problem in that AFC East for a long time to come. He's a big man. He's got a lot of speed and strength on him. I think it would be a great pick for them at 13.
All right, so now we're moving on to pick number 14, which belongs to Atlanta Falcons. And I have the Falcons taking Ed Oliver, defensive tackle from Houston. I think Oliver is a top-five talent, but he's been out of sight, out of mind since early in college football season. It's not his fault, but other players have flashed, you know, in the meantime, and that allows the Falcons to land Oliver, who will be a three-technique terror in the NFL, in my opinion. I have them taking Ed Oliver, defensive tackle from Houston. Who do you got them snatching up, Mad Mike?
Before I tell you my pick, I'm going to tell you, if that happens, Lloyd, they're going to have the best. You just mentioned if Quinton Williams ended up on the Jets, they'd have the best interior line with Leo. If that happens and Grady Jarrett and Ed Oliver play on the same exact line together for three downs at a time, it's going to be unbelievable what's going to happen in that NFC South. I'm telling you right now, if that happens, then all of these teams, they better start bulking up that offensive line. I have the Atlanta Falcons taking Andre Dillard. I thought about going defense here as well. But I think that, you know, they have so much money invested in their quarterback and wide receivers with Julio Jones getting a new contract this offseason. I think you have to protect them. I think it's not a question at all. And they go Andre Dillard. He's the most polished pass protector in this draft. And that's exactly what they're looking for.
All right. So pick number 15 goes to the Washington Redskins. Who do you have the Redskins taking at 15, Mad Mike?
I have the Washington Redskins throwing a monkey wrench in the New York Giants' plans and drafting Daniel Jones, Duke University quarterback. And the Giants will have to find themselves a quarterback next year.
You know what? For the first pick thus far, listeners, at pick number 15, me and Mad Mike agree, as I have the Redskins taking Daniel Jones, quarterback from Duke as well. And is this too high for Jones, Matt Mike? Some may say maybe, but NFL teams seem to be higher on him than the media. And he'll give Washington a much-needed franchise quarterback who is close as you're going to get to Eli Manning in his draft class, in my opinion. And he's played for David Cutcliffe at Duke. So I have them taking Daniel Jones as well, pick number 15, quarterback from Duke. All right, so that moves us to 16, Matt Mike, which belongs to the Carolina Panthers. Who do you have the Carolina Panthers taking with pick number 16?
I have the Carolina Panthers, who I just finished saying maybe should be looking offensive line. I have them taking edge rusher Brian Burns. It's about time they start replacing guys like Julius Peppers. They have the middle of that defense already sewn up. getting solid play on the outside and safety. They just have to rush the passer more consistently. So, yeah, I have them taking Brian Burns, edge rusher, Florida State.
All right, I have them taking Jonah Williams, offensive lineman from Alabama. Although he got eaten up alive by Clinton Farrell from Clemson in that championship game. But he's coming off of an impressive 2018 season. He can play right tackle in the NFL, even kick inside the guard if needed, and possibly even center. So I have the Carolina Panthers taking Jonah Williams, offensive lineman from Alabama. And that takes us to pick number 17, Mad Mike, which belongs to the New York Football Giants, who earned two picks after trading away Odell Beckham Jr., to the Cleveland Browns, I have them taking a young man that I just said ate up Jonah Williams in the championship game. I have them taking Clinton Farrell, defensive end from Clemson. Farrell is arguably the best player on Clemson's defensive line. That's chock full of first rounders, which you just said, not too long ago. He racked up 11 and a half sacks and 20 tackles for losses last season for the Tigers. And the Giants have a gaping need for edge rushers after shipping out a lovely Vernon, like you said, to the Browns last season. So I have them filling in this spot with their second pick in the first round, Mad Mike, with Clinton Farrell, defensive end from Clemson.
I have them rebuilding this defense still. I have them taking Devin Bush, sideline to sideline linebacker. He's ferocious, reigning Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. And if you can't get Devin White, Devin Bush is the next best thing. I'm happy to see his rise through because a lot of people thought he was going to end up being a back end first round to second round player. And it's good to see him getting the credit he deserves moving up these draft boards. I think the Giants are going to hit a home run with this one. And when you consider, I believe I mocked them with Montez Sweat. You go Montez Sweat and Devin Bush in the same draft, and now you're cooking on defense.
That's very true. And this is, meanwhile, I have them going offense and defense. So moving on to pick number 18, which belongs to the Minnesota Vikings, I have them taking Cody Ford, offensive lineman from Oklahoma. Somebody that I'm high on, Mad Mike, and somebody that I actually thought about having a Giants pick with this pick. But Kirk Cousins had an uneven debut season for the Vikings, and while he deserved some of the blame, Minnesota's poor offensive line did him no favors at all. Ford is coming off a strong season for Oklahoma, and he'll be welcome addition to that O-line that wasn't even, you know, that wasn't even replaced, that level in 18. So I have them taking Cody Ford, offensive lineman from Oklahoma, with the number 18 pick, man, Mike.
I have the Minnesota Vikings taking Jonah Williams, who I think is the best offensive lineman in this draft. He's the most polished offensive lineman. I know that people knock his strength, and people are looking at the length of his arms, and they're looking at that national title game and saying that's what's to come. I think that what he is a rich man's. I think Justin Pugh is a poor man's Jonah Williams. I'm sorry. I think that this kid is unbelievable. He was the number one player, the offensive lineman, for a long time going into the combine. And for some reason, people just continue to ignore tape or want to look at just one game. This kid is going to be a beast. And if you don't think he can play tackle, he's going to be just as good as a guard as he is a tackle. He's no Quentin Nelson. But he's no Quentin Nelson from a strength perspective, but he's Quentin Nelson from a technique and talent and skill level.
All right, so we're going to do one more pick before we go to the commercial break. And that pick is number 19, and it goes to the Tennessee Titans. Who do you have the Tennessee Titans taking at pick 19, Mad Mike?
I have the Tennessee Titans taking Garrett Bradbury. I think after spending an entire year of seeing their quarterback getting banged up and injured, on multiple occasions, I think that they finally realized that we have to, you know, put elite offensive linemen in front of him. Garrett Bradbury is an athletic, probably the most athletic offensive lineman in this draft as he transitioned from, I believe it was tight end, to offensive lineman during his college career. And that would fit in well with an athletic, mobile type quarterback, a new age quarterback like Marcus Mariota. If he can't play center, or you already have an elite center, he's going to be a above average guard in this league anyway. He's a safe pick to me, being able to play multiple positions on the offensive line.
All right, I have them taking Marquise Brown, wide receiver from Oklahoma. And Brown suffered a leg injury last season in February, but he should be ready to go by training camp, as reports are saying. I think that he's a game-changing talent, and I think he'll be a nice welcome for Marcus Mariota. So I have the Tennessee Titans taking Marquise Brown, wide receiver from Oklahoma, who, mind you, what is he, a cousin or nephew of Antonio Brown?
Yes, Hollywood Brown is a cousin of Antonio Brown. The one thing that worries me, Lloyd, is he's a 160-pound wide receiver. And the help me out here, Philadelphia Eagles, Tampa Bay Buck.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank, too.
Speedy guy scored, punt return 10. After punt return against
Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun
Jackson. There you go. We got it. Great. Two minds are better than one, damn it.
Yeah, basically. The only thing that worries me about him, and believe me, I thought he was a first-round pick locked up. Once again, family royalty. He suffered a Lisfranc injury, man. And when you suffer a Lisfranc injury as a speed guy, I don't need to see how you test. I need to see how you're able to play coming off of that.
All right, so there you have it, listeners. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to finish up the draft and do picks number 20 to 32. So we'll be right back with more in this special edition of our very first full NFL mock draft. We'll be back with more of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Welcome back to the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show, listeners. So before the break, we got all the way up to pick number 20. So now we're going to start the second half of the show with pick number 20. That belongs to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I have the Pittsburgh Steelers taking Devin Bush, linebacker from Michigan. And the Steelers need help at edge rusher and cornerback. But if Bush, with his 4.440 speed, is still on the board, they have to take him. As Mad Mike mentioned, he's a sideline linebacker. He has speed and he can wreak havoc on the run, in the run. He's great at rushing the passer, and he's real smooth at dropping in the coverage, which is rare. And Mad Mike actually had the Giants taking Devin Bush with the pick. And that's actually what the Giants need. The Giants need a linebacker that can cover, because none of the damn linebackers they have can cover. So I wouldn't be mad at that pick as well. But I have the Steelers taking Devin Bush with the number 20th overall pick, Mad Mike. Who you got them taking?
I have them taking Greedy Williams. They need a middle linebacker to replace Ryan Shazier. They haven't been able to find one. I think they're going to find it and get him from the Jets. I think they're going to land Darren Lee later in the draft, in the draft day trade for Darren Lee as a coverage linebacker. So I think that Greedy Williams falls to them. I think Greedy Williams is a top 10 talent in this draft. There's questions if he can tackle at the NFL level. Here's one thing I'll tell you. Deion Sanders couldn't tackle at the NFL level. But you know what he was? He was a hell of a coverage cornerback. And, Greedy Williams is the same thing that he is. You don't have to tackle if they can't throw the ball, if they can't complete the pass. So I think that he'd be a steal here for the Steelers.
All right, so pick number 21 goes to Seattle Seahawks. Who do you have the Seattle Seahawks taking in at 21, Mad Mike?
I was saying they were going to go defense and help rebuild this defense. But after I saw all that money in the 4 years they gave to Russell Wilson, I think that this is where Noah Fant goes. I think they're going to give him that tight end that they've been missing. It's the tight end that they thought Jimmy Graham was going to be for them. And I think they're going to get it here. They don't have much size at receiver. Doug Baldwin is their number one, but he's not necessarily a big receiver. Tyler Lockett is the same kind of guy. He's a smaller receiver. I think Noah Fant fits perfectly with them.
And congratulations to Russell Wilson and all that money he earned laying in the bay with Sierra to make the announcement. I mean, there was reports to the Giants that he wanted to come to New York, and I guess that thrashed those speculations right there. But I have the Seattle Seahawks taking Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle from Clemson. And Wilkins returned for his senior season at Clemson and turned out to be his best. And in addition to helping the Tigers to win a national title, you know, Wilkins set career best in sacks with 5.5 and tackles for loss with 14. And he's one of the most versatile players in his draft class. So I have them taking Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle from Clemson. So that moves us to pick number 22. That belongs to the Baltimore Ravens, man, Mike. And I have the Baltimore Ravens taking DK Metcalf, wide receiver from Ole Miss. And Metcalf, who blazed the 40 with a 4.33, you know, at the combine, he has game-changing talent. He will add another dimension to the Ravens' run-heavy offense. There's some question marks about his inconsistency with catching the ball, his inconsistency with running routes. But sometimes, if you have athletic ability, those are some things that can be worked on and you could become better at. So I have them taking DK Metcalf, wide receiver from Ole Miss, man, Mike.
I agree with you. I have them taking DK Metcalf as well. I think DK Metcalf is a huge injury risk. He's been injured most of his time at Ole Miss. He's coming off a broken neck. Like you mentioned, he's got to refine his route tree. But there's some stuff that he has that you can teach, and that is size and speed. And yeah, they question if he can catch the ball. DK Metcalf can catch the ball. DK Metcalf is going to be able to go inside, and he's going to be able to go outside. We're talking about a guy whose measurables are Julio Jones. Now, is he Julio Jones? I don't think so. But at the same time, Baltimore doesn't have anybody. I mean, they lost John Brown. They lost Michael Crabtree. So this is a move they have to make. And you want a guy with that kind of athletic ability when you have a work in progress like Lamar Jackson at quarterback.
All right. So that brings us to pick 23, which belongs to the Houston Texans. Who do you have the Texans taking with the 23rd pick, Mad Mike?
I have the Texans taking Greg Little from Ole Miss. Greg Little is a guy who, for some reason, people have not been able to find a home for. Scouts haven't been able to find a home for in the draft. The media, the analysts, everyone, you know, building these drafts, they don't know where to put him. Is he at the top of the draft? He's been mocked as a top 10 guy at points, and he's been mocked as a second rounder at points. I think he goes here. The Texans know that they have to be able to cover. Not cover, but protect Deshaun Watson. And I think it starts, Little is going to end up playing left tackle or right tackle, and that's the kind of guy they need right now.
All right, I have them taking Greedy Williams, cornerback from LSU. But like Mad Mike said, to piggyback off of what Mad Mike stated, listeners, here's the big question. Will Williams have to, you know, that he has to answer, is he willing to tackle? Because he didn't always do that at LSU, as Mad Mike pointed out. But when he's focused to put his athleticism to work, like Mad Mike mentioned again, listeners, there's no better cornerback in this draft. And the Texans cut first rounder Kevin Johnson and let Kareem Jackson leave in free agency. So they need help with that cornerback position. I've been taking Greedy Williams, cornerback from LSU. So that moves us to pick number 24, which belongs to the Oakland Raiders. Their second pick in the first round. I have the Oakland Raiders taking Justin Lane, quarterback from Michigan State. A former wide receiver, Lane was. He's 6'1". He ran a 4.5 at the 40 and is a physical cornerback with exceptional ball skills who will immediately upgrade Oakland's secondary, in my opinion, Mad Mike. So I have the Oakland Raiders taking Justin Lane, cornerback out of Michigan State, with the 24th pick.
I have them taking Justin Lane as well. For the same reasons you list, the fact that he was a former wide receiver, converted wide receiver, that has to make changes in their secondary. And I think that they'll do themselves really, really well to get themselves the makings of a shutdown corner on the outside to go with Josh Allen, who I mocked to them at 4.
All right, so that leaves us to pick number 25, which belongs to the Philadelphia Eagles. And I have the Eagles taking Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, defensive back from Florida. After the 2017 season, there were questions about Gardner-Johnson's tackling ability, but he proved that he's more than capable, in 2018. And his coverage ability makes him an attractive option for the Eagles. So for that reason, I have them taking Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, defensive back from Florida, with the 25th pick.
I have the Eagles going the same route as far as position. I have them taking Byron Murphy, cornerback of Washington. For some reason, we're talking about a guy who was ranked the second highest. Probably people thought he was going to be the top cornerback in this class, even better than Greedy Williams. Didn't have the season that most thought, but I think they get themselves a steal with him there. He's a physical, just a solid worker. He'll fit in perfectly with the mentality in Philadelphia.
All right, so the 26th pick belongs to the Indianapolis Colts, man. Mike, who do you have the Colts taking with the 26th overall pick?
I have them taking Jerry Tillery out of Notre Dame. He's a tackle. He's nasty. He's strong. He's going to set the He's basically going to be Quentin Nelson on their defensive line. And if you think about it, that's exactly who he had to go up against in practice for all those years at Notre Dame. So, yeah, I got them taking him. He has the makings of a special defensive tackle. And with all the talent they've started to amass over there on defense, I think he's perfect for them.
And for the third time in a row, listeners, me and Mad Mike have the same player going to the same team. We both love this pick. You know, Matt Eberflus transformed the Colts into a good defense in 2018. And to go from good to great, you know, Indy needs to add a few more pieces. And Tillery was dominant at times last season. And if he can play with more consistency, he can end up being one of the biggest surprises in this class. So I have them also taking Jerry Tillery, defensive lineman from Notre Dame. So that moves us to pick number 27, which belongs to the Oakland Raiders. Their third first-round pick in this year's draft. Who do you have the Raiders taking with the 27th overall pick, man, Mike?
This might shock you, Lloyd. I got them taking Jonathan Abram, who I think is the best safety in this class. He's physical. He's nasty. Mississippi State set. You know, he's just good, man. I don't even know what other words to use to describe him. He's going to be special. He really he reminds me a lot of my own safety, and you know, number 33, El Presidente for the New York Jets. He talks a good game, he backs it up, and I think that with their pass rush, their ability, with Justin Lane, and now you get the back end of the defense, I think they're going to be solid in Oakland with this pick.
All right, so I have them take a Noah Fant, tight end from Iowa, and the reason why I have this is because I had them taking the edge rusher and quarterback. So I addressed those needs with the first two picks that I had. Antonio Brown was acquired via a trade to elevate the receiver group. And Fant replaces the lost production of Jared Cook, who led the team in receiving last season. So I have them filling that need at tight end with Noah Fant, tight end from Iowa. So that moves us to pick number 28, which belongs to the Los Angeles Chargers. And I have them taking Chris Lindstrom, offensive lineman from Boston College. I think Lindstrom is one of the best offensive linemen in his class. He's coming off of a strong season for Boston College and will be a huge upgrade along the interior line for the Chargers. So with that being said, that's the reason why I have Chris Lindstrom, offensive lineman from Boston College, going to the Los Angeles Chargers, Matt Mike.
Yes, I have Chris Lindstrom going to them too. Boston College is a tough physical offense. They're more of a pro style than a college style. And if you're going to commit, and not that Phillip Rivers has shown his age at any point, but being that he hasn't, and you're committed to him, and realistically, the only other position I would put out there for them is if DK Metcalf fell, maybe they could put him, you know, alongside, you know, on the outside because of his size. But outside of that, I think you just continue to build your offensive line. You continue to protect Phillip Rivers until he shows any signs that you know, I don't see why anything else you would do. So I got Christian Lindstrom there saying,
all right, so that moves us to 29. Pick number 21 goes to the Kansas City Chiefs, man, Mike. Who do you have the Chiefs taking with the 29th pick?
I know that everybody thinks that they should go secondary here. They have massive holes in the secondary. But I'm going to say that they lost Dee Ford and Justin Houston, I believe, went to Indianapolis. So they need a pass rusher. And I have Cleveland Farrell falling all the way here. And that would be a steal for them. I think Cleveland Farrell, like I said before, I don't think that Clemson line was the sum of the parts. I think each guy was equally special. And you know, it could be Dexter Lawrence as well. But I think Cleveland Farrell rushing the passer for them, I think that's it's lights out for them. I think it's a home run pick.
Now, Mad Mike mentioned them needing help in the secondary, which is why my pick for the Chiefs was Byron Murphy, defensive back from Washington. And Murphy didn't run well at the combine, you know, but NFL teams loved his drill work. And while he may be undersized, he's a tenacious defender, something that the Chiefs secondary lacked a season ago. And they do need help in the secondary, which is why I had them taking Byron Murphy, defensive back from Washington. So that moves us to pick number 30 as we close out our very first mock draft of all 32 teams, which is owned by the Green Bay Packers. And I had them taking Dalton Risner, offensive lineman from Kansas State. Risner was one of the best college right tackles last season, and he did nothing to change that assessment with a solid performance at the Senior Bowl, Mad Mike, and the Combine, and he'll likely make a living as an interior lineman in the NFL, but his versatility will serve him well with Green Bay. You know, Green Bay usually have a very good line, so I've been taking Dalton Risner, the offensive lineman from Kansas State, with the number 30th pick, Mad Mike.
Yes, I actually have them taking Dalton Risner for the same circumstances. They've had a lot of not turnover on the offensive line, but they've had a lot of injuries on their offensive line. A lot of those injuries have led to Aaron Rodgers being hit a lot more, and you know him suffering his own injuries. So I think that Dalton Risner, because of his versatility, his ability to play guard and tackle, I think that he's a no-brainer for them, and that's exactly the route they're going to go in beefing up this offensive line and keeping their $150 million man healthy this year.
All right, so that brings us to pick number 31. That belongs to Los Angeles Rams, and I have them taking Jeffrey Simmons, defensive tackle for Mississippi State. Simmons, in my opinion, is a top 10 talent. Unfortunately, you know, he tore his ACL in February, Mad Mike, which means that he won't be healthy until midway through the season. Best case, that's the best case scenario, but you know, when he returns, the Rams will have a dominant young player in the middle of their defense. And remember, listeners, that was the same thing with the linebacker that roams the middle for the Dallas Cowboys. What's his name again, Mad Mike? He went to Notre Dame.
Jalen Smith.
Yes, he tore his ACL or he tore his knee up and wasn't ready.
And people forget that Jalen Smith was going into that draft. He was the second rated player on the big board, and because of the ACL, he fell out of the first round. And I like where you're going with this. I'm sorry, I just like hijacked your whole thought process.
No, that's fine.
But the only reason because you brought him up, I like where you're going with this is because if the Cowboys could do it over again, they would draft Jalen Smith in the first round. And here's why: because they would have that fifth year option, and then they would have the ability to negotiate long term or franchise him. Where being he picked in the second round, now he can only be held on to for the 4 years, and then straight to the franchise or long term negotiation. So I think if they could do it over again, they would.
And there you have it. It's case in point. The reason why Mad Mike is bringing it up and the reason why I'm bringing it up is just because this young man, you know, tore his ACL, that doesn't mean he can't come back, you know, faster and stronger than he was before he tore it. So that moves us to the last pick in the draft.
By the way, that was my pick too, Jeffrey Simmons.
All right. Oh, I'm sorry. Give your reasons.
Well, no. One of the reasons was that, you know, somebody is going to want to be able to if you're going to lose a year to injury, you want to be able to recoup a year, and you recoup that as his fifth year option. Two, Jeffrey Simmons is by far, and you're going to call me crazy for this, and I'm telling you right now, 2 years from now, we're going to have this conversation again. Jeffrey Simmons is the best defensive lineman in this draft. He's the best defensive player in this draft. He coming out of high school, he had a little character concerns and issues, which is why he didn't end up. We're talking about a guy recruited by all the top schools. You know, if we're attaching Alabama to this kid's name or Clemson to this kid's name instead of Mississippi State and a torn ACL, we'd be talking about him instead of Quinnen Williams at two or three, possibly even one. That's just facts. So I think that if you're going to lose a year to this ACL, you're going to try to steal the year with that fifth-year option. And what better team to do it than the Rams, who really don't have a pressing need in the middle of their defense right now.
They sure enough don't. And that gives that'll give this young man time to, you know, heal and get stronger. But that leaves us with the last pick, which belongs to the the Super Bowl champions, New England Patriots, at number 32. Who do you have the New England Patriots taking with the 32nd overall pick, man, Mike?
This is just me being a jackass because I really, really want this guy to go in the first round. I think he deserves it. I've actually mentioned his name earlier in this show. I'm picking Chase Winovich to go to the New England Patriots. He just seems like that kind of worker. His cone drills, everything just blew everybody away. People, like I said before, they just call him a lunch pail guy. I think it's simply because he's white. I just think it's, he's special. He made Rashawn Gary, Rashawn Gary. And when you turn on the tape, this guy is a better football player than Rashawn Gary on tape. He just is. But for some reason, we want to focus on Gary's athleticism, and we want to say, hey, well, Chase Winovich isn't running 4.4 at the combine. Well, Chase Winovich is everything else is top-notch, right? So who cares if he's got 4.4 speed or 4.6 speed? I mean, come on, man. Let's keep it real. Turn on the tape and watch this kid. He can freaking ball. And I'm telling you right now, he's special, and he just reminds me of a guy that everyone's overlooking and we'll just fit in there and we'll just be like, how did this guy fall?
All right, so I have the Patriots taking A.J. Brown, wide receiver from Ole Miss. And Brown is a big slot receiver who played alongside D.K. Metcalf in college, obviously. He's tough after the catch. Brown also, in my opinion, has big playability and to give Tom Brady a big catch radius play in the middle of the field, you know, and this being that Rob Gronkowski has retired from football. So I have been taking A.J. Brown, wide receiver from Ole Miss. And that concludes, listeners, our very first full NFL mock draft of all 32 teams. Like we said, the draft is this Thursday. So with that being said, next week's show, obviously we got to cover all the picks, not of all teams, but all the picks that the New York Giants made, all the picks that the New York Jets made, and any surprise picks that, you know, may have been made in this NFL mock draft. So, I mean, in the NFL draft, not the mock draft, but the NFL draft. So, it's an exciting time. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be disappointed as a Giants fan at some point, either with that number 6 pick or that number 17 pick. But, you know, I'm already preparing myself to look at the TV and say WTF.
I hope they take our advice and don't take the
can't
quarterback.
Go wrong
and
with
just
both,
absolutely
with both
really
our selections, Matt Mike. They can't go wrong. I'm not mad at your selections, and I'm sure you're not mad at mine's. Can't go wrong.
No, not at all.
Can't go wrong. But all right, let's move on to some NBA basketball, Matt Mike, as the Brooklyn Nets fell to the Philadelphia 76ers, and they're now trailing 3-1 and on the brink of elimination. The problem with the Nets, man, Mike, is they're having
trouble. The problem is we mushed them, and rightfully so. We mushed them. That's what happened. We were the ultimate mush, and we should have never been cheering for this team. Should have stuck to our guns, and we didn't.
Yeah,
and
I had this team being my surprise team. I literally thought that of all the teams that were playing in the first round of against teams that they didn't have a chance to beat, I thought that the Brooklyn Nets were going to be that team to beat the Philadelphia 76ers. But this team is having a hard time closing out games, man, Mike. They had a chance to win this game that they just lost. They had a chance to win a game before that. And it's just not closing out games, man, Mike. Is it the coaching? Is it the lack of experience? What is it? But they're just not closing out games. And now their backs are against the wall against Philadelphia. I can't see this team beating the Philadelphia 76ers 3 times in a row. This may be the end of the road for the Brooklyn Nets. But hey, Nets fans, you got to see some playoff basketball from this Brooklyn team. You know, so I got to, you know, I'm going to congratulate them on the season. They had a very good season this year. I don't know if it's enough to get big-time free agents to want to go there, Mad Mike. But they, you know, I got to give credit where credit is due. You know, they want to up and up, Mad Mike, but they, you know, they need more. They need some veteran leadership on that team to help put them over the top. But, yeah, you know, the Philly is going to put the dag in them at some point. If not, in the next game, the game after that, I don't think it's going any further than that, man, Mike.
Yeah, I think the one thing that we saw with them, and it's something that I've always said, it's actually something that it's a misconception with the way Golden State plays. I think that they rely too heavily on a three-pointer. I've also said that about some other teams, Houston. But it allows teams to get out to huge runs, and then it allows teams to kind of go into an offensive lull and let teams back in. I think that's why they struggle to close. You saw points of that game on Saturday where, you know, they're up big. You know, they just have that feeling like they're going to run away, and then all of a sudden, Philadelphia's back in the game, and you're like, how'd this happen? And I don't know, man. I think it's a problem. I think that you see it. You're seeing it with a few teams. I think Portland is falling into that trap. You know, the one thing people don't realize is Golden State takes the most two-pointers in the league, and they make the most two-pointers in the league. So just because they have three-point shooters that you know, make you or give the appearance that they're changing the game, Golden State has not really changed the way basketball is played. They haven't. They take just as many two-pointers as they do three-pointers, and they make more. That's why it works.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And Golden State is about to finish off the Clippers, which I was surprised they blew that 30-point lead in the one game that they did. If it wasn't for them blowing that lead, obviously they would have swept the Clippers. The Clippers don't have any answer. Let me tell you something. You know, people say what they want to say about Kevin Durant, but Kevin Durant is not playing some basketball. And Klay Thompson, you know, Matt Mike mentioned that, you know, the Knicks should also look into Klay Thompson. That wouldn't be a bad choice. And watching him play, not that I haven't watched him play, but watching him do his thing in his playoffs, Matt Mike, I'm on board with you with that. I wouldn't be mad at Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant. I don't know if Kevin Durant wants to stay with Klay Thompson, and I really can't see Klay Thompson leaving Golden State. I can see him being the one player that would sign there. You know, if any player sticks with a team that they would, I can see him being that player to do it. But Klay Thompson is balling too. Both Durant and Klay Thompson are playing better than Steph Curry. And what the hell is going on with Draymond Green? Did he forget how to shoot the ball? I mean, teams are literally leaving him open to shoot the three, or daring him to shoot anywhere from the three-point line to behind that three to behind that free throw line, man, Mike. And he's not even taking him up on that offer. You know, he's not taking him up on the offer. Indiana got swept by Boston, which doesn't surprise me. Orlando snuck a game out against Toronto, but it looks like Toronto's going to finish them off. It looks like Houston is going to finish off Utah. And Milwaukee. Look at this interesting matchup, man, Mike. I mean, I'll let you give your thoughts as well. I'm sorry that I'm moving so far ahead. But if Milwaukee wins, you have Milwaukee and Boston in that semifinals in the Eastern Conference, man, Mike. I'm loving that matchup.
Yeah, let's hope they get there, though.
Milwaukee already took care of business. And like I said, I mean, Boston already took care of business. Milwaukee has just been dominating Indiana. So I really can't see Indiana coming back and beating them. So it looks like there's going to be a prime matchup between Milwaukee and Boston in the next round. It looks like Toronto should finish off Orlando. What's the other series that I'm missing, man, Mike? Oh,
from the East?
Yeah.
Brooklyn-Philly.
Yeah, Brooklyn-Philly. So it looks like the next matchups are going to be Philly and Toronto again, and Milwaukee and Boston. Not a bad second-round matchup if it gets there, but it looks like that's where everything is heading towards.
Yeah, no upsets. There's no upsets brewing in the East.
Yeah, you know, surprisingly, Matt Mike, San Antonio, I mean, that's a good series going on with San Antonio and Denver. Usually San Antonio is where Denver would be as far as the regular season goes, and Denver would be where San Antonio is. So it's not like you're getting a cakewalk when you go up against a Greg Popovich San Antonio Spurs team. But to me, that's probably the best series of all the first rounders that's going on right now.
Yeah, the most competitive. Actually, you know what? I do like this Portland OKC series.
Yeah, You're absolutely right. I put Portland OK first, and then I put San Antonio and Denver second.
I never realized that OKC was as unlikable as they are, man. They're really an unlikable team. They're a front-running, trash-talking bunch. Outside of them, Philadelphia is the other team for me. I can't cheer for these guys. The way that Dennis Schroeder all of a sudden, I know you follow the lead of your best player, right? You take on his personality. One of the reasons why the Giants got rid of OBJ, they just didn't want the other guys taking on that personality. And you could see it happening with Russell Westbrook. Dennis Schroeder, what are you doing trying to clown, you know, Dame Lillard? Like, who do you think you are? You're a bench player. You're the backup point guard going after an all-star, talking smack to an all-star. I mean, look, in the end of the day, we can say whatever we want. Russell Westbrook averaging triple-double. He had the worst offensive season from an efficiency standpoint in the history of this game this year. Think about that. They are losing games because he is so determined to have triple-doubles. These are facts. You know what I mean? Kevin Durant has two titles. You know how many playoff wins? Not series. How many playoff wins Russell Westbrook has since he left?
Four.
With this series included, he has four wins without KD. What does that tell you? He doesn't uplift his teammates. If anything, he's a bigger problem.
Yeah, that whole rocking the baby to sleep thing. You know, listen, Damian Lillard is a great point guard, and kudos to Damian Lillard for not going back, because the other night, Damian Lillard was going off, man.
And not once
did he go back at the buffoonery, you know, that Westbrook was going. And listen, it's by no means me and Mad Mike saying that Westbrook isn't a hell of a player. But there's a right way to play the game and a wrong way to play the game, and you're supposed to respect your peers and respect those other great players in the league. And yes, you can be competitive. You could be competitive. But not the way that Russell Westbrook is going about doing it. Like Mad Mike said, you know, that stuff becomes contagious. And it also lights a fire in your opponent. And he's lighting it. You're talking about Damian Lillard. We're not talking about another point guard that can't go on a scoring spree like that. We're talking about one of the top point guards in the NBA that he's doing this to. You don't want to light a fire under the behind of a player that caliber.
Not at all. And it's not like, I can understand if that game made it 3-0 OKC and they're running Portland out of the building. They were down 2-0. That game was to save, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're playing games right now to save your season. You're not even playing games to, you know what I mean? It just didn't make any sense to me. It's like, you act like these guys don't belong in the same court with you. You're down 2-0 when it's happening. Not only that, but Dame Lillard dropped 25 in the third quarter of that game. They weren't talking smack in the third quarter. They didn't start talking smack until 2-3 minutes left in the game when they were up 12.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. So the next round is going to be an exciting round. Definitely in the Eastern Conference. I'm looking forward to that. I still think that Golden State is going to come out of the Western Conference. Houston may be the one team that can, you know, prevent that, but if Golden State is playing the way Golden State is supposed to be playing, where they're clicking on all cylinders and they're not fighting each other and doing damage to themselves, nobody's beating this team, man, Mike.
No.
And to me, that opens the door for for Durant to come on over to the, you know, come on over to the dark side, so to speak. Come on over to the dark side, baby. Come on. Come on, damn it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to some hockey before we close the show out, man, Mike. As my New York Islanders swept the Pittsburgh Penguins 4-0, and they're waiting for the winner of the Carolina Hurricanes and Washington Capitals series, and the Capitals leading that series 3-2. It looks like the Islanders and Capitals, who won a Stanley Cup last year, on a collision course to face each other. I don't know if this layoff is a good thing or if it's a bad thing, as the Islanders do have some injuries. Johnny Boychuk, you know, got injured the last game. They were two players down game four against the Pittsburgh Penguins. This time gives those players time to heal. You know, but they were playing very good hockey. I just hope that this doesn't come back and bite them in the butt, because they're going to be playing against a very good Washington Capitals team, Mad Mike. And I'm actually excited and looking forward to this. The only thing that sucks for me, and this has been something that I've discussed with other Islander fans, is that the second round of the Islanders playoff hockey is being played at the Barclays Center, where the first round was played at the Nassau Coliseum. I think the Nassau Coliseum is an electric building. I think it's more energetic than the Barclays, but obviously the Barclays is going to bring in more revenue for the New York Islanders. I say damn the revenue, but
I think it's a mistake.
Yeah, I think it's a mistake. Also, I'm just hoping that those fans that all went to the Coliseum gravitate and go to the Barclays Center. But here's the thing, man, Mike. My biggest thing with the Barclays and fans at the Barclays is, to me, fans that go to Brooklyn Net games and fans that go to New York Islander games are not true fans of those teams. You got people that just, for the most part, I'm not saying everybody, Mad Mike, but you have quite a few people that just happen to live in the area and go to that arena because it's a convenience.
Well, yeah, I mean, Brooklyn got their own team. Being from Brooklyn, you're going to cheer for Brooklyn. But I will say this, just to give a little insight. My brother is a die-hard Islander fan, and he, from a TV perspective, he absolutely loves when they play at the Rock, because he knows that the building means more. He knows that the atmosphere is a lot more electric. It's smaller, so it's more closed in. So you feel like the fan. You feel the fans. I mean, they're on top of you. But from his standpoint, working in the city, he can't get to the games. So he knows he's confined to watching them at home. Whereas he'll go to Barclays Center. He actually prefers them there because he gets to see them in person. You know, so he looks forward to that. But I get what you're saying.
That's what I heard also, Matt Mike, from Islander fans, is that the Barclays is more convenient for them, as obviously going to see them play on the island is not as convenient because transportation is not accessible in Long Island as much as it is, you know, in Brooklyn. You could take the Long Island Railroad, you could take, mass transit there. So you have a way to get there, whereas in Long Island, you got to go and stop at a stop, you know, nowhere near the Coliseum, and then catch an Uber, you know, to the Coliseum, and then do the same thing going back. So that becomes a pain in the butt. But hopefully, you know, it doesn't make a difference, and, you know, this team can go out and continue to play strong hockey.
And yo, by the way, as far as the Washington series goes, TJ Oshae is done for the playoffs. Broken clavicle. He's already set to have surgery. They've already announced that he's going to miss it. So that's a big break for the Islanders.
Yeah, and a bigger break would be that Carolina would beat them, as I would much rather face Carolina than Washington.
And Islander fans.
Right, that's a huge loss for the Washington Cap. Oh, my God. Did you see that punch that
On the rookie. Caught him on the rookie. And he asked the rookie. He said, right, read his lips. He said, do you want to do this? Do you really want to do this? And rookie dropped his gloves and, all right, well, three straight to the face. He got put to sleep. He woke up concussed.
Usually superstar players are soft.
He's not.
Scrap it out. And that's not the case with Ovechkin. Ovechkin is scrap it out in a heartbeat.
Yeah, he's not. But, you know, one other thing, Islander fans, if you take joy in this, the Toronto Maple Leafs in some trouble, huh?
Yeah, Boston Bruins, they beat them in Toronto.
3-3, game 7.
They go back to Boston for the deciding game. And for whatever reason, I think Boston gives the Islanders fits. And the Islanders kind of ran over Toronto during the season. So if I had to pick my choice of who I would rather face Toronto than Boston. But I tell you what, how nice would it be for Tavares to get exited out of the first round?
Yeah, for a team you know, it's funny. If John Tavares was playing on the Islanders right now, we'd probably be saying that they're Stanley Cup favorites on the East. Right now, if you're looking at the Eastern Conference playoffs right now, and you take Tavares off Toronto and you put him back in on the Islanders with this current staff of Lou Lamoriello and Barry Trotz and the way the guys are playing, the way the goaltending has absolutely changed, the way the defense has absolutely changed, We be saying, yo, they're Stanley Cup hopefuls on the Eastern side. We probably say that they're the favorites. We really would. And for him to be playing for his playoff life in Game 7 while the Islanders sat home Sidney Crosby in four games speaks volumes of to me, how the miscalculation of John Tavares.
Yes, it does. But before we let you go on your rant, let's close out real quick with baseball, Mad Mike, as Aaron Judge has suffered an oblique injury, and they're saying it is kind of a severe oblique injury, and they have no timetable on his return. But holy crap, when I look at the Yankees lineup, man, Mike, this number AAA guys playing for this team right now. I mean, thank God for DJ LeMahieu, who's been playing well. You got to give credit where credit is due. He's playing well. And oh my gosh, real quick, what the hell is going on with Noah Syndergaard? He's given up 5-plus runs and back-to-back starts for the first time, Matt Mike. St. Louis was tearing him up yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think Noah Syndergaard has I don't want to say that he's got elite stuff. I think we can agree that Noah Syndergaard has elite stuff. I don't think Noah Syndergaard has learned his craft yet. I think that he can throw the ball hard, and he still relies heavily on being able to throw the ball hard. But I don't think he's worked on becoming a pitcher yet. And I don't know if the Yankees have I'm thinking Dave Island from the Yankees. I don't know if the Mets have the pitching coach to do that. Someone's got to be able to reach him. And I don't know if Dave Island is that guy.
Listen, and kudos to Pete Alonso, man. That young man is still raking, man, Mike. He's still raking. He hit another home run yesterday. Still raking. As the Mets lost to the St. Louis Cardinals. But back to our Yankees, Mad Mike, as Judge suffered the injury. So now you have Judge on a DL. You have Stanton on a DL. You got Sanchez on a DL. You got Andujar on a DL. Who else am I missing?
You got the whole team. Hicks. Betances.
Yeah, Betances is on a DL.
Sevy?
Yeah, Luis Severino is on a DL. So, and listen, Paxton has been pitching the ball, although, he had back-to-back 12 strikeout performances, even though it was against the Kansas City Royals. Who else did he pitch against, Matt Mike? It wasn't Boston, was it?
Boston.
All right, I'll give him some props for Boston. He showed up in that Boston game and pitched lights out, which is what we're expecting him to do, right? Isn't that what we expected this young man to do? Or not young man, but isn't this what we expected him to do when the Yankees traded away one of their best prospects to get him?
Yep.
So it seems like he's turning the corner, Mad Mike, but now you got Jay Happ, who hasn't turned anything. And he's scheduled to pitch later on this evening against Matt Harvey. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in that series. Listen, man, the Yankees got to battle through this. Clint Frazier, somebody that I've been very hard on, is playing very good baseball. Very good baseball. He's starting to hit a little bit. But I would say that between DJ LeMahieu and Clint Frazier, those guys have been keeping this team afloat.
Don't forget Torres.
Gleyber Torres, too. That's right.
Everybody's
so damn hurt, man, Mike. I forgot that he wasn't hurt.
Yeah, he got robbed of a 3-run home run on Saturday, man. These umps blow my mind. They really do.
Who's to say that he was going to catch the damn ball?
Yeah, what they were saying is not that he was going to catch the ball. What they were saying is that ball was going to die at the top of the wall, and therefore that ball now becomes 50-50. It can bounce back into play, and it can bounce over the wall. And because of that reason, the fan can't touch it.
But why not give him a double? They said they why not give him a double in that case, man, Mike? They called him out.
Well, it's fan interference. So once you make that determination, you got to call a fan interference, which means the player's out. They robbed him of a hit. It was bogus. And,
he came back with another big hit. He did.
He did.
But listen, it's that time of the show where we let Mad Mike do his thing. The Mad Mike rant. So, Mad Mike, this is your floor, brother, your time to give your peace of mind on something that you're unhappy with. What's going on in that mind of yours for this week's rant, Mad Mike?
For the second time, I've kind of shot my load a little early. But yeah, I was going to go after Russell Westbrook and Dennis Schroeder and OKC, man. I didn't know that we were going to talk about the West Coast. But, you know, I don't understand what this guy's doing. Stop disrespecting players. I understand that that's your attitude. Paul George, what are you doing going for a reverse dunk to end the game up 12 points with no time left on the clock? You know, start showing some respect, man. Like I said before, he has four playoff victories. Four playoff victories. Not even, you can't even count on one hand. You know what I mean? All of his playoff victories. So it's like, come on, dude. Grow up already.
Yes, it
is. And please, 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 somebody help Serge Ibaka find a new wardrobe, man. What the hell was he wearing the other night?
Listen, you know, there's always getting a humble pie thrown in your face, so... You know, we'll see what happens. But listeners, that's going to bring us to a close of this week's show. We have so much more to talk about. And next week's show is we got to discuss, the picks of the Jets and Giants. We got to talk about the NFL draft. There's hockey playoff going on. There's NBA playoffs going on. There's baseball going on. This is a very big time in sports and a very big time in New York sports as we have some teams in the playoffs. So me and Mad Mike still have a lot to cover, but we want to thank you for always tuning in, sticking with us, and listening to us, because without your support, this thing wouldn't continue to go and wouldn't continue to grow. And we want to thank our producer, Ayo Omar Baker, for keeping this thing going. And I want to thank my partner in crime, Mad Mike, for rocking out as well. You know, we have our very own Batman, and not even Robin, but Batman and Batman going on. You know what I'm saying? He's wearing one costume that Batman wears, and I'm wearing the other damn costume that Batman wears. And, you know, without him, it wouldn't be no me, and without me, it wouldn't be no him. So I appreciate you, Mad Mike, as well. So listeners, me and Mad Mike, I'll see you in 7 days. Until then, have a safe and blessed week. So, hey, yo, let's roll, baby.
And just like that, that brings our show to a close. All of you fine, fine ladies and gentlemen that have been listening, I thank you. If you subscribe, thank you. If not, please do so. And make sure you share it with your friends and your family, anybody that you know. But get into some sports talk. You got the best sports podcast, in my very humble opinion. The best sports podcast, the real sports and the real talk, right here with the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Show. As you already know, episodes drop every single Monday. Head over to LloydAThompson.com. Follow on Instagram and Twitter at Lloyd A. Thompson. That's with two L's. Make sure you throw the second L in. And we'll catch y'all in a week. Peace.